The title of my sermon today is Letting God Be God. Would you join with me in prayer? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are the one who strengthens us. You are the one who saves us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. The 18th and 19th century French philosopher Joseph Joubert once wrote, "We know God easily if we don't constrain ourselves to define God. We know God easily if we don't constrain ourselves to define God." And how hard it is, because we all try to define God. From the earliest days, people have tried to put God in words and in pictures. Think of that most famous picture of God by Michelangelo of the Sistine Chapel ceiling in the Vatican. God is the old man reaching out to Adam with his fingers. We want to know what God is like. We want to know who God is. The lectionary for last week came from an earlier chapter in the book of Exodus, when the Israelites felt that God and Moses had forgotten them. Moses was up on the mountaintop talking with God, getting the Ten Commandments. And so they decided they wanted a tangible God. And so they created God in a golden calf. It was a God they could define. It was a God they could see and touch. There was no mystery about the God who resided in the golden calf. But there was also no power, no promise in the God of the golden calf. And so we come to our discussion in the book of Exodus today between God and Moses. And we hear that Moses not only wants God to keep God's promise and lead the people into the promised land, but Moses also wants to see God. He wants to see the glory of God. Perhaps Moses is in doubt as he hears God possibly backing out of the deal. He wants to be able to understand who this God is. We hear Moses asking to know the presence of God. Now, according to the Jewish scholar Nahum Sana, the Hebrew word for presence also signifies God's self-manifestation, some outward visible sign of God's essential presence. God agrees to proclaim to Moses the name of the Lord. In Hebrew society, to give one's name was to reveal one's character, the totality of one's person. So what Moses is asking of God is for God to reveal God's self to him. He wants to be able to define God, to say, "I have seen God and I know God." And who among us has not wished for that at some time or other? Wouldn't our faith be so much stronger if we had that information? Or would it? Faith often, when it becomes actual knowledge, loses something. It loses its transcendent power and ability to move us. Yet when all we have is our faith in God, it seems so tenuous. We doubt so easily. It seems to lack the solidity that we think that proof would give us. The great writer Flannery O'Connor once said in a letter to someone who obviously felt they were losing their faith, "The experience of losing your faith or having lost it, it's an experience that in the long run belongs to faith. Or at least it belongs to faith if faith is still valuable to you. And it must be, or you would not have written me about this. I don't know how the kind of faith required of a Christian living in the 20th century, this is O'Connor still writing, can be at all if it's not grounded in the experience that you are having right now of unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It's the most natural and most human and most agonizing prayer in the Gospels. And I think it is the foundation prayer of faith. Moses was allowed to see God, but only the back of God. God hid Moses between the rocks and covered his eyes so that he could not see the face or the front of God, because it would be too much for him. He would die. It would kill God in us as well, because God would cease to be the unknown, all-powerful deity that we know God as today. Think about the awe that people must have felt in the ancient days when they saw lightning storms and lightning bolts flashing through the air. The mythology that arose around such storms, talking about Zeus throwing lightning bolts, or the anger of God, or the presence of God as lightning and clouds descend on the mountain. But then, as time went on, we were able to define and know lightning, to harness it, and now we light our homes and run all of our gadgets from electricity, which is the power of lightning. We've domesticated what once used to be thought of with a considerable amount of holy awe. We have a real knack for domesticating anything we understand, and God refuses to allow that to happen. But we hate to live with the mystery. We're like the little boy who was asked by his mom to go out into the backyard at night when it's dark and to put his toys away. And he started to go outside, but then he turned around and came back in and told his mom, "Mom, I'm afraid of the dark. Won't you come out with me?" His mom reminded him that he was not alone, that Jesus was always with him and would never leave him. So the little boy turned around and went outside into the dark, but then quickly turned around and came back in, saying he was still afraid of the dark. And his mom reminded him that Jesus was with him and would always be with him. He wasn't by himself. And the little boy replied, "Yeah, Mom, I know. But sometimes I need somebody with skin on." Moses wants somebody with skin on. We all prefer somebody with skin on. And the closest that we can get into this life with God having skin on is Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. Paul reminds us of this when he writes in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, speaking for Jesus, for him the fullness of the deity dwells bodily. Jesus is the clearest picture of God that we can get in this life. Beyond that, we have to have faith in the promises and in the hope, just as Moses ended up having to. It means that we have to live our lives with, as God being a reality that we can't fully know or understand. We will not get all of our questions answered in this life. We won't get that until the next life, when Paul reminds us, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Zuber reminds us, we know God easily if we just believe in God and trust that God is who God, Jesus, prophets, apostles, saints, and good people have said God is down through the ages. In the early church, Cyril of Jerusalem, Bishop of Jerusalem, gathered to offer the Eucharist to the children of Christ in Jerusalem. And as they gathered, he said to them, "Beloved children of the church, I have long wanted to explain the mysteries to you. But because I knew that faith by seeing is stronger than faith by hearing, I have waited patiently until now." Faith by seeing is stronger than faith by hearing. Faith by seeing is love without words. In the bread broken, we see the body of Christ broken. In the cup of salvation, we see the blood shed. We either see the face of Christ and God in the people around us, or we don't. Those who go out and do the work that God calls them to do know God easily. They are not bargaining with God to gain some kind of foothold on God. You know, Gandhi said it so well when he wrote, "I do not believe in people telling others of their faith, especially with a view to conversion. Faith does not admit to telling or of telling, but when it is lived, it becomes self-propagating." Now, please do not hear this, that we should not talk with others about our faith. But if we act out of our belief that God is who God and Jesus say God is, then we will truly be disciples. How easily do you believe in God? How easily do you let God be God? If it's not easy, maybe you're trying too hard to know God. Maybe you just need to let go of the knowing and the bargaining and do what God wants you to do. You might be amazed at all the things that you can do. After all, Jesus said to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe." God has promised to go with us wherever our journey takes us. Just as God promised to Moses to go with the people into the promised land. Are we ready to believe that? Are we ready to just let God be God? Amen.